Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is July 11th, 2013. The world is in turmoil, and most just don't realize it, but we are in that time at the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to that one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get to the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And here's where I give up my right to privacy. My cell phone number in case of emergency is 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. 4886. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And folks, you folks out there that are listening on radio or might be listening by the telephone that do not use the internet, or you just don't feel like going on the internet and looking it up, you can call me for any kind of question about this program or mailing address, how to donate, so on and so forth. You can just give me a call and we'll work it out. Anyway, now prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. We've got a really good program for you tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not necessarily my will or our guest's will, but your will, Father, and give everybody out there ears and wish to hear the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, our guest tonight is Professor Ronald J. Rychek. He will be talking with us about a book he co-wrote called Disinformation, Former Spy Chief Reveals Secret Strategy for Undermining Freedom, Attacking Religion, and Promoting Terrorism. He is a co-author of this book with Lieutenant General Micah Pacepa. I'll ask him how to pronounce that. I had it a while ago, but I forgot. But anyway, Pacepa, who is the highest-ranking Soviet officer ever to defect. He is Mississippi Defense Lawyers Association Professor of Law at the University of Mississippi School of Law, where he's been on the faculty since 1987. He's a graduate of Washburn University and Vanderbilt University. Ron is a member of the committee appointed by the Mississippi Supreme Court to revise that state's criminal code on the editorial board of the Gaming Law Review, and a member of the Mississippi Advisory Committee to the U.S. Civil Rights Commission. He has a lot of good credentials. I think we will probably try and focus tonight on liberation theology and the communist infiltration of the churches and church organizations. But really, when you start looking up this book about disinformation, there's so many things out there like JFK and everything else. So let's just get Ron on to talk about it. Are you there with me, Ron?
Pastor Dan, it's great to be here.
Are you there, Ron?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Okay.
A little delay there in the communication department, apparently. But this is really a fascinating book. I tried to nail it down to thinking, well, I better concentrate on just a couple little things. But, wow, this book is really powerful. Why don't we start this off? You tell us a little bit about your co-author.
Well, I'm happy to. My co-author, Ian Mihai Pacepa, he was the number two guy in Romania. He was the head of the equivalent of like their CIA. He engaged in foreign espionage. And he's got this a number of things that he was involved in. The idea of disinformation is that we think about spies and we think about stealing secrets. And he says, no, you know, really the most important thing is implanting false ideas in your enemy nation. Now, one of the most interesting stories, I think, with him is one of the things he tried to do was they tried to turn the leader of Romania at that time, Ceausescu, into a modern communist, a good guy, a guy you can do business with. Pacheco, my co-author, talks about being at the White House, and he's got Ceausescu, the leader of Romania, who in truth was a butcher and a really bad guy, and Jimmy Carter on the other side. And Jimmy Carter is praising Ceausescu, saying what a great man he is. My co-author, that was his job, was to convince Carter and the rest of the world that Ceausescu was a good guy. But he's standing there and saying, I can't believe we have so fooled the world that the President of the United States is praising Ceausescu as some great modern leader when, in fact, he knew he was a butcher. Now, what happened was eventually my co-author, Pacheco, defected. He got assistance from the United States in the middle of the night. They took him to Washington, D.C. He spent about 3 years informing the Washington officials what was going on. And a lot of that is the kind of stuff we have in the book, things that he was involved in misleading the West. And, of course, one of them was about Ceausescu. Ceausescu ultimately was overthrown, put on trial, and executed for committing genocide against his people.
Well, like I say, it's just truly amazing. And so I'm going to get kind of a couple of the short ones out before I go into this Islam thing and everything. I know folks out there, I mean, we've been playing with conspiracy theories about John F. Kennedy forever. What does this tell them about what this man has to say about John F. Kennedy, please.
Yeah, sure. And for me, too. You know, and one of my earliest memories was the JFK assassination. And, of course, I was interested through high school and college. I read all the books. And if you talk to the average American about the Kennedy assassination, you'll come up with a standard line. Well, the Soviet Union wasn't interested in Lee Harvey Oswald when he defected to the Soviet Union when he went over to Russia. And when you step back from that moment and think about it, Soviet Union, of course, would be very interested in a U.S. Marine who worked in some highly classified areas, who was a sharpshooter, who taught himself Russian, who went over to the Soviet Union, married a Russian woman, came back and was involved in many pro-communist activities here in the United States. Of course they were very interested in him. When he ends up shooting President Kennedy, this is the main thing that Pacheco was involved in, was the Soviet Union recognized that Americans would start looking at Russia, looking at the Soviet Union, and saying, you know,
right,
that they were connected. So the information, the disinformation was to get the Americans to start thinking it was the CIA. Because they're not false information, and we have information, we show in the book how they funded speakers, funded books, funded articles, that all that pointed at the CIA so that Americans would not look to Russia, instead would look at Washington, D.C. suspiciously and really confuse the whole thing so that even today we have all kinds of disinformation and confusion about what really happened.
Sure.
With the shooting.
Right, absolutely, which brings us in, is taking us right to where we need to be. So, you know, a lot of folks, you're out there wondering, talking to the audience a minute, you're out there wondering, well, you know, the Cold War is over, why should any of this stuff matter? But really, there's some long-lasting things to this, and really, is the Cold War over?
Well, you know, that's good. You know, they're very two interesting things, two things I'd say there, Pastor Dan. The first is, disinformation becomes like a Frankenstein monster. Once you create it, it goes on in perpetuity. People later on who think they're being good scholars, who think they're being honest, who are trying to you know, figure things out, look back at books and articles and speeches and things that were done earlier, thinking they're looking at legitimate information, but they're not. They're looking at disinformation. So a myth can continue forever. So that's one aspect of the Cold War. The other aspect of the Cold War, and this is really important for your listeners to think about, at the end of World War II, when the Nazis are defeated, Of course, the leaders went on trial at Nuremberg. There were some other minor trials like that. But everywhere across Germany, there were denazification hearings. People who were active Nazis, people who were really the bad actors in that process, were taken out of positions of responsibility. You didn't let them maintain important roles of leadership in the government, in business, in any kind of area like that. Well, the Soviet Union never went through that. So the Soviet Union, when communism collapses, you've got all of the folks who were in the KGB are still around. Putin, he comes to power, and he surrounds himself with KGB people. I mean, it's the KGB running Russia today. So, no, the Cold War isn't over. And just within the last couple of weeks, you heard John McCain talking about how Putin sounds like the Cold War is back on.
Well, of course I'm in talk radio and speak to a lot of people, and I've got ex-CIA people on here. Or as this one CIA person said, I asked him, I said, is it once CIA, always CIA? And he said, yeah, but anyway, point being we could tell that from Putin, but, tell me about this concept, and I think it's best described with this word glasnost, because, we see pictures of Putin skiing and hunting lions and doing all kinds of things. What's all that about? I mean, is this glasnost? What is that?
Oh, that's a great question. The origin of disinformation really goes back into Russia, even pre-Soviet times. When a new leader would come into power, he would take the resources available to discredit the previous ruler and to build up the current ruler. And so there were always these false images being portrayed. So when Stalin dies, Khrushchev discredits Stalin, builds himself up. And it was really Khrushchev who began to see the ability to use this to deceive the West, to begin to build himself up around the world. Then we think of him as a happy buffoon. He was really a really bad guy too. You begin to try to convince the West with glasnost that the leaders in the communist nations, and Ceausescu was a perfect example, try to convince them that these are modern men, these are good men, they believe in communism, but communism's okay, there's nothing inherently wrong with communism. You can do business with these people, and you do that with everybody, including Gorbachev. You try to convince everybody these are all modern good men, but it's all deception. It's a setup fraud. We see that today with Putin. We had President Bush that I looked in his eyes, and I think that's one of the times when President Bush was most fooled. But I had looked in his eyes, I saw his soul. Putin has rebuilt. Or really, even more strongly than that, the KGB used to be important within the Soviet Union. The former KGB today runs Russia.
Right. Well, so what does that mean for us? I mean, from the sounds of folks, I want you to understand that, they're just not our friends. In fact, aren't they creating enemies? That takes us to the terrorism bit.
Well, they absolutely are, and if you go back to when Andropov was the leader, first of the KGB, but then later became the head of the Soviet Union, the idea begins to develop within the Kremlin that if we can sort of get the Arabs in the Middle East really concerned and angry about Israel and the Jewish people living in Israel, and the United States, which is supporting Israel, if we can convince them to and really bring them in and train them and go through actual training and then teach them about things like hijacking, we can create a new weapon to be used against the United States, and it won't even have our fingerprints on it. We won't even be doing it. And so they cultivated this Middle East terrorism that we're living through today is very much a product of what happened inside the Soviet Union over the past 30 years.
So, that should be really shocking information to, you know, the people out there, because, you know, we're talking about that, or our leaders are acting like Russia's our friend and, you know, the Cold War's over and all this, but really they're working still to tear us down as a nation, correct? Is that what you're saying?
They really are. And, Pastor Dan, I'm glad to be on a show like yours where I can talk about this. Everywhere where communism exists, atheism is at the core of it. Today, a lot of people know about China. They know that the churches are being suppressed in China. In the Soviet Union, throughout the Soviet Union, the churches were suppressed. There was that movie that came out within the last year or so about when communism came up in Mexico and they suppressed all of the churches in Mexico. It's inherent to the idea of communism that atheism must prevail. And one of the things we talk about, by the way, there's a DVD that you can also get called Disinformation, where we go through a lot of this, and we talk a little bit more about this actually in the DVD than I think than in the book. The founder of the Italian Communist Party, Antonio Gramsci, communism almost took over in Italy in 1948. Gramsci looked at the failure of communism to take over in various nations, and he said, the problem is, in order for communism to be successful, we have to convince the workers that it's okay to kill the bosses and take their money. Communism, you know, Mao said, communism begins at the end of a gun. Communism is premised upon the idea that people are willing to kill in order to enforce that ideology, in order to take from the wealthy, to share equally, you know, with everyone else. And if there is a Christian ethic that permeates any society, communism cannot take hold. So whenever communism comes into power, you know, the first targets are the churches.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Christianity says that we're supposed to follow our leaders. Christianity says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt love thy neighbors, all these things. And so, and we stand for free speech and all these things. And so we're definitely in the way. Let's go to Dalek to America. Go ahead.
I would say if you look around the United States today, you see atheism on the rise. You see Christianity under attack. You see, in fact, all versions of religion under attack. And it's attacked from different perspectives. They're saying you can't have science or reason along with Christianity. You can't have people clinging to their Bibles and their guns. You ridicule people for believing in old superstitions or whatever. You have to understand that's not just a random thing that's happening. This is part of the equation for the success of communism.
Yeah, absolutely. And instead of doing it with guns and you know, just extremely activists, they're doing it. But this disinformation is a really important thing. They're taking it into I believe that they're taking it into our colleges and universities and putting it in our use. Is that part of the pattern?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if you are a committed communist, you believe that it's your obligation to spread your ideology. If you're an artist, you want to bring it into your art. If you're a teacher, you want to bring it into the classroom. If you're a writer, you want to bring it into your literature. And that happens time and time and time again. And, you know, that it wears down. It's there's the metaphor we use in the book that you know, a drop of water over a long enough time, it wears away a stone. And that can happen. And I think too often people of faith in the United States are sort of passive like a rock, letting the drop fall, the drop fall, the drop fall, not realizing that it's whittling away as that happens.
Well, you know, I think right now the country, a large part of the country is going through kind of a shock about disinformation because, you know, we're seeing all the things with the NSA come out. And you know, and we're seeing truth about Benghazi and things coming out. But, you know, disinformation, how do we get to the truth? I guess that's what I want to ask you. You're a law professor. How do we get to the truth? How do we recognize the truth now?
I believe that recognizing the problem is 90% of the matter. I actually had a discussion the other day with a guy about this, and he said our schools are not educating our young people well enough to recognize these things. And my answer to him when I said that, I said, you know, I don't think it's a failure to recognize. I think it takes courage to stand up. You have to be willing. People are going to point fingers and say, oh, he's a Christian. Oh, you know, she's a person of faith. Oh, you know that they're still that somebody clinging to their Bibles and their guns. And that shuts up way too many people. Way too many people are don't want to get embarrassed. You know, I don't want to be out in front on this. I don't want to call something out when I see it's wrong. I think there's a level of courage that has to exist within people of faith today. That's one of the things I like about your show. You're not afraid to stand up and speak about your faith. A lot of very good people, very good Christians, hasn't been necessary. They haven't thought it was necessary, so they haven't been willing to go far out on a limb. The time is coming when you have to, first of all, get informed, understand what's going on. I do hope my book helps people do that. But then they have to have that element of courage where they're not afraid to have someone, you know, raise an eyebrow at them. And we're not talking about the kind of courage that you know, crew heroes face, but we're talking about willingness to have people kind of look at you funny. If you're fighting for the truth, you have to be brave enough to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we as Americans want to see this country to exist in freedom, then we need to do that. If we don't do that, I don't think that most Americans really realize just how far we're, you know, being pulled. And I do strongly believe, the number one, of course, Satan the devil, folks, is the number one enemy. But I believe that he uses communism. I believe it's alive and well. I believe it's socialism, and it's trying to creep in and take over our country. And, you know, a lot of you folks just agree that it's okay. Well, listen, we're up here to, right up against the wall to break time. What do you have a website or something that you're advertising a book, or are you just pointing to WorldNet Daily, or what are you doing?
Well, you can go to WND.com, WorldNetDaily.com, or, you know, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any of the online places. The book's it's doing real well on all of those places as well.
And you say there's also a DVD, of course, right?
There is. There's a two-disc DVD. It's a full-length. We say it's 2 hours, but I watch, I think, it's about 2.5 hours, just chock full with some real experts talking about the whole array of disinformation that's coming to America today.
Well, amen. Well, folks, get the book, get the DVD. I've got the book actually in front of me on my computer, and we'll go over some of these other things when we get back, but we'll be back in about 3 minutes, folks.
Right back. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19, 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. And, you know, week by week, we've been talking about Mercy, which is our new Women's Overflow Shelter, working real hard on that, but we still need your support because, folks, with ministries, and I can't really tell you why it is, but usually every summer donations go really slow. This summer, it's actually the slowest, but we do need your help to keep the Wichita Mission Church going and to get this Mercy Women's Overflow Shelter open. We have women waiting out on the street right now to get in, and we're seeing new ones every day. So we're trying to get it open the first week of August. So pray about a love gift or maybe monthly support. Pray about it. And if nothing else, if you can't afford anything, that's okay. That's cool, too. Just pray for us. Lift us in prayer because prayer is number one. But why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love, that's the first answer. And then they're treated as family, that's the second. And beyond that, we really have no set guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and ask. That's the rule. And then if we don't have the way to fill their need, we pray it in. So this is why all the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send them to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We're the very last hope for so many. Folks, we are all responsible to care one for another as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps, and the Father notices all donations that come from your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com or simply call me at 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And now we're talking about disinformation, and are you still there with me, Ron?
I am here.
You are there. Well, that's good to hear. I thought maybe I'd do the rest of the program by myself. No, I'm joking. I figured you were there. Tell the folks again the name of this book and where they can find it and about the DVD before we get started in the second half.
Sure. The book and the DVD are both called Disinformation. The subtitle for the book is Former Spy Chief Reveals Secret Strategies for Undermining Freedom, Attacking Religion, and Promoting Terrorism. And it's by myself and Lieutenant General Ian Mihai-Pachepa, who is the highest-ranking Soviet bloc officer ever to defect to the West.
Wow. So as far as he's concerned, he's probably like this other fellow, Raza Kahili, that is also a defector from Iran. He's happened to hide. Is he hiding, right?
Yes, he lives today. Ceaușescu, after Pachepa left, Ceaușescu, the leader of Romania, put a $2 million bounty on his head and actually sent assassins over here to try to find him. There are forces still loyal to the old regime in Romania who are still here after Pachepa. Pachepa has had plastic surgeries. He lives in a new location in the United States with a new identity. Guards his life very cautiously.
Yeah, absolutely. And so so we are giving him protection. And so, amen. What a wealth of information this guy was. And how did Ronald Reagan? It seems like I ran across something about Ronald Reagan and this information. How did he take it?
Well, Ronald Reagan read Pachepa's accounts. When Pachepa first came to the United States, Jimmy Carter didn't believe him. Jimmy Carter, it took him a long time because, Carter had been fooled by Pachepa into believing Ceaușescu was a good guy. When President Reagan took over, he read Pachepa's account. He overnight switched the American approach towards Romania. He absolutely believed what the Pachepa said. You know, we have the former head of the CIA, James Woolsey, who wrote the foreword to this book. Pachepa has a letter he's very proud of when he became an American citizen, which is about 27 years ago, thanking him for the role he played, the significant role in bringing down a Soviet intelligence office. I mean, he provided a wealth of information to the American CIA.
Yeah, absolutely. So I imagine even Mr. Putin would probably love to get his hands on him, seeing how he is who he is. This book, folks, is really fascinating. I didn't get time to finish it today, but I was curious if you'd tell people about this Operation Dragon.
Operation Dragon was the effort to JFK assassination, isn't it? I might get that wrong. We talked about.
Yeah, that's the JFK set. I wanted to bring. Well, I just wanted to point it back out to the people.
Oh yeah, okay. So yeah, I mean, there were three important things, and I guess a fourth that Pachepa had when he came to the United States. He wanted to tell the Americans that, hey, it wasn't the CIA that killed the president, and the Soviet Union was very interested and did some training of Lee Harvey Oswald. He wanted to explain that Ceaușescu was was really a bad guy, and of course the world later determined that and figured that out to be true. He wanted to explain that the Pope of the Catholic Church during World War II was not sympathetic with the Nazis. There may be some of your listeners have heard of the book called Hitler's Pope. That argues that the Pope of the Catholic Church was actually sort of a Nazi during World War II, and Pachepa says that was the Soviet way to discredit Christianity and really the concept of religion itself. If you can align a major religious leader like that with the Nazis, you bring discredit upon the very concept of Christianity, and that was the goal of that campaign. And then the fourth one that really is brought forward in this book, the revelation of the Soviet hand in developing Middle Eastern terrorism. Pachepa, in the last months while he was still in Romania, every month they would send thousands of copies of this forged document. There's a document that's called the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. It purports to be minutes of a meeting of Jewish leaders who are plotting to take over the world. And they talk about using the blood of Christian children and rituals. And it's a horrible, horrible forgery that was crafted in Russia back in the 1800s. And it was used to develop hatred towards Jewish people. But the Soviets recognized that if they could get the Arabs in the Middle East to believe it was real, that would develop hatred towards the State of Israel and ultimately also towards the United States, which was seen as being the main supporter of Israel. So they actually developed the Middle Eastern terrorism that we're seeing today was intentionally cultivated by the Soviet leaders.
Well, wow. So how would it – okay. And that explains their guns and their backing of Iran and the nuclear weapons programs and so on and so forth. How could we ever win them over then?
That is very hard, and that's what when I said earlier, this information can be like a Frankenstein. It gets to the point where you end up with Afghanistan fighting against the Soviet Union, back in the 1980s and such, you create a monster, and it's hard to keep it under control. How do we do this? We have to reveal the truth of what's behind this. You have to work with Muslim people who were willing to see the truth and work with us, which is the majority of them, but there's a very significant minority that are involved in some of these horrific acts. The good folks, they have to step forward and take some leadership in combating that. It's all about understanding the truth, recognizing that these horrible ideas that are permeating were intentionally cultivated. They didn't just percolate up, these came from the Kremlin.
Right.
And if we know the truth and if we're courageous enough to stand up and call out the truth, we still can prevail.
Well, a couple of things on those lines, we've had several ex-terrorists on this program. I don't know if you've ever heard of Waleed Shubat and some other people, but, the Muslim problem, and I'll just say it's a Muslim problem, is that educated Muslims, and there are some out there, a lot of them, Western ones, are what you would call, moderate or so on. But the problem is that the ones that are in the countries over there that are doing most of the fighting, most of the terrorism, are not as well educated. And so, that's a real problem. And how do you communicate with somebody that is not as educated? And I'm not down on them. It's just that they lack the capabilities of having that education. But it is a real problem. Go ahead.
Well, you're absolutely correct. You're correct in saying that. But, if you actually look at terrorism around the world, there's more Muslim-on-Muslim terrorist acts than Muslim-on-Western terrorist acts. It's a problem that permeates even in Islamic societies where the extremists believe that their Islamic leaders are not sufficiently pure. That's because of this cultivation that came from the Soviet Union.
Wow. That really horrific. And, I have always believed that communist was a problem, that it didn't go away, that it kind of changed its way of presenting itself. I believe that A lot of our problem started coming into the United States as education-wise during the Vietnam War. You said something about John Kerry. Did we talk about that?
The Vietnam War was strongly a situation of disinformation. I mean, you know, I think everyone will acknowledge that the soldiers did not lose in Vietnam. We lost political will inside the United States. We lost political will because of disinformation campaigns. I mean, the Soviets were actively funding student groups and newspapers and writers trying to get the American people to break our will with propaganda. John Kerry fell for a piece of propaganda. You may remember when he ran for president, this got some play, because back when he came back from Vietnam, he accused American soldiers of committing heinous atrocities and genocide. He said it was like Genghis Khan. And Pachepa heard that and said, hey, you know, wait a minute. That's exactly the line that we were putting out as disinformation to the soldiers. It turns out we're not questioning Kerry's dedication to the United States or whatever. He was a young kid who believed what the Soviets said. He didn't see those things. Those things didn't happen. I mean, I think pretty much everyone acknowledges today that what he said was wrong. We think what he said he believed because he heard it from Soviet disinformation.
Right, absolutely. You know, I have to hand it to you. You know, I don't know how you got involved with Pachepa, but you know, it's you are doing a courageous thing, because this book with a lot of people will, you know, upset people on one side of the spectrum or another, and so you are doing a good thing. In fact, I'm probably going to say that your book, this book about disinformation in the DVD, is disinformation.
You know, you're absolutely correct. People already are making accusations like that. But believe me, I'm one of these guys that footnotes everything. And if you look at this book, you see a lot of footnotes dealing with a guy who knows firsthand information. We got the former head of the CIA writing the foreword and talking about what an important job we did. I have many academics who have endorsed it already. But you're right. A lot of people they're going to say this is all conspiracy theory kind of stuff. You know, sometimes there are conspiracies, I guess.
Well, sometimes the conspiracy is just that. It is a conspiracy. And really, you know, America's in a funny place right now. You know, while all along I believe that, you know, the government might be, you know, grabbing information and so on and so forth. And now everybody's in kind of a shock and awe thing, saying, uh-oh, they are, you know. And so I don't know what we're going to do with that. Although, to a point, it is warranted that they should protect us. It's just whether you can trust the people that are doing it, I suppose, would be, I guess.
No, you're absolutely right. It's one of these things I don't think any of us know exactly what to think. We believe in the American ideals that we don't want our government snooping on us everywhere we go. On the other hand, you understand, you know, if you're on the trail of someone who's going to blow up a building or something, I want you to catch that person. But the government needs to, deal with a degree of transparency. I think the thing that concerns me, and you mentioned this earlier, you get a situation like Benghazi where it seems really clear that our government is holding information back, or held information back, or set forth false information early in the process. Disinformation, we've written a book about it, but we're not advocating it as a good policy. We're exposing it as a bad thing and making sure that people recognize it and use some critical thinking when you hear something.
Well, yeah, you know, and that's something that I feel like, you know, we talked about, you know, how disinformation came in really strongly during the Vietnam era, and it continues today. And so that, you know, we've gotten to an area where so many people back in the 60s, they would speak out, but maybe 10 or 15 years ago, but now You know, Americans are, I believe, we're just being too quiet. Is it politically correctness is killing us, or why do you think we're being so quiet?
Well, I mean, I think that that's a very good point. Part of disinformation, part of the Soviet campaign is in fact to paint the people who point out, who point this out, to paint them as nuts. I mean, that's actually part of the process. If someone catches on to what the Soviets were spreading, they would try to throw people off track and accuse the people who in fact had seen through the disinformation, accuse them of being conspiracy nuts or whatever. But the Soviets did this by infiltrating groups too. The World Council of Churches, a lot of folks may be familiar with that. We really took churches in a political direction. Well, the Soviet agents infiltrated that group and other groups like it and tried to develop a new idea, a new theology, liberation theology, where the political activity of a church is as important as prayer. And, you know, that never had been the case, that never had been true. But if you turn the church into a political arm, now you can take the church in a lot of different directions, and you can do a lot of things with it, and especially if you put your people into positions of leadership, which the Soviets did, and you can help nullify, you know, traditional Christian thinking and Christian teaching.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. They are there. They're. I had a comment from our producer. We were talking while the commercials were running, and he said that he agreed with me about communism being a problem, but he said that he believes that it's here within. And I said, of course, you know, they are here. And if we don't stand up and talk about it, then we're going to lose our freedom. And first and foremost, it used to be that's the first place we'd hear a problem was, you know, at the church pulpit, the pastor would say, hey, look, there's a problem, you know, and tell the people. But now, we just need to gain our voice back, and we can gain that voice back by renewing our faith in God and read our Bibles. Folks, if you read your Bible, you don't have to read bad things to recognize bad things. If you read your Bible, bad things will stand out. Brother, I really appreciate you coming on with me, and I appreciate you writing your book and sticking your neck out, so to speak. And if I could talk to your co-author, I would say the same thing to him, but I'm going to bless him. Any final words that you want to share with the people?
Well, you know, I would just tell the people, I think what you said is true. Stick to your Christian principles. Be aware that there are ideas out there that are not legitimate, that there are bad actors behind something sometimes. And if something comes up to you and it doesn't make sense, it doesn't fit with your Christian view of the world, don't embrace it simply because you read it in the New York Times, you know, or you saw it on CNN. We can still, you know, defend America. We have to defend America. We have to do it by standing up for Christian principles. And I think folks who listen to you are off to a pretty good start.
Well, thanks a lot, brother. Thanks for taking the time to come on this radio program. And, again, God bless you for writing the book and DVD. All right, I'm going to let you go. Goodbye and shalom, my brother. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Pastor. Bye.
Folks, I let him off a couple of things too early, or a little early, because I want to recap on a couple of things, you know. Amen. I don't believe we have to remember that the Muslim faith, like, you know, he's pointing out that with the Muslim faith that, you know, they're killing each other. Well, that's because they're forcing Sharia law. And the Sharia law is the ultimate, that's like a Christian fundamentalist. That Sharia law, that means that they're following the Quran to the letter. That's what they're doing. They're being more religious. And so the more moderate, so to speak, you want to use that word, for somebody that's in Islam, you know, you find that they're not following their Bible to the letter. They're, you know, so that's the way it is. We've talked about that a bunch of times. But really, this communism thing is a very serious thing. And as Frank, our producer, pointed out, he said, well, you know, he said it's within. When I said, well, you know, communism was the problem, But he looks at it and he said, well, it's within our leaders. And I hope you don't mind me quoting you, Frank. Anyway, he said our leaders, you know, have taken, and some of our leaders have taken on those things, because the deal with communism is there is the elite and then there's the peasants. You know, I don't know who it was talking on radio, or not radio, but they were talking on Fox News the other day, and they came forward and they said that the whole reason behind this immigration is that they need uneducated people, like all the Mexican immigrants, to bring them in and let them become voters. And believe me, if they let them in, the next day, you know what's going to happen after they give them amnesty and bring them in and say, okay, here's a 10-year process. After everything's passed, then within a couple of weeks, you're going to hear the Democrats start saying, well, it isn't fair. They're here legally in the country now. They ought to be able to vote. And then, boom, blink of an eye, they will be able to vote, and then that's it. Anything on the other side will be outnumbered. But you're talking to a person that believes that this country is pretty much stuck in the mud. I don't think that we're going to get out of it. And that's it. I just don't believe it. Because in order for us to get out of it, that would mean this nation, just like Nineveh, the whole nation would have to repent. We would have to repent. We would have to start pushing back the darkness. And I've seen that in little spots, but I don't see it as a large uprising. We are serious. Christians need to speak up. You don't be afraid of being ridiculed or because your beliefs don't go, oh, I don't say that tonight because such and such that's over here visiting doesn't believe that way, and we'll be ridiculed because we're the only people in the block that believe that way. We need to stand up for what you believe in. You need to stand up for your Christian faith because, you know, it's like this. If you stifle Christ, if you deny Christ before men, if you deny Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, before men, then when you're standing up in front of the Father at the last, then he'll say, well, you know, you denied me before men. Why should I stand up for you before the Father? And that's the way that it goes. Remember, you must also forgive others. When others ask you for forgiveness and repent, you need to forgive them. Because if you don't forgive them also, you will not be forgiven. Well, folks, I'm going to have to get out of here. I've got to work on a program for Mission Watch this next week. And so I've got some good guests coming up for you next week, both on Mission Watch and on radio. So you don't want to miss this program. Share this program with others. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. This is the slowest summer that I've seen, and our vehicle, the Mission Church, is a round trip of 120 miles away from where I live at, 60 miles one way, and my vehicle that I drive back and forth just broke down, and we're driving something that isn't in very good shape. So pray about that we get the money to get that fixed. I only need less than $1,000 to get it fixed, so pray about it. Anyway, you must always remember that there is only one God. Yes, that's right, only one God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach, and he gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. 3 days and three nights, not a day and a half and a little while. 3 days and three nights, because he was asked, what is your sign? What's the sign given? He said, the only sign given to a wicked and perverse generation is the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. There is no other way. He is that ultimate sacrifice for the blood of what's the Torah say, for the blood of bulls and goats and those such things. That can't wash away sin. That just hid sin. The only thing that can wash away and do a sin is that ultimate sacrifice. And to do that, once you become saved, once you believe in him and you accept that sacrifice, you must turn away from sin. You can't continue on in sin, for if you continue on in sin, once you have the knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for your sin. Well, again, I'm going to get out of here, but first let's just bless the people. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, Yahweh, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father Yahweh blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else. Until the first day of the week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan.
To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.